A transformed mind will produce a transformed will. You will want what God wants. When you present your body, when your mind is renewed, you're going to start wanting what God wants. That's why I'm going to boil down God's will to something very simple. Okay? You'll understand what I mean in the context of it. Love God and do whatever you want. You go, well, that's a little weird. No, it's not. It's actually very true. Because if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you're presenting your body to Him, if your mind is being renewed in His mind through His truth, what you want is going to be exactly what He wants.
After giving their lives to Jesus, many Christians then wonder how they can know God's will for their life. Today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip shares how you can pursue God's plan for your life. Then, at the end of today's program, Skip and his wife Lenya share about some exciting resources to help you go further in your Bible study.
We have connectwithskip.com where you can download and listen to over 3,500 full-length sermons, messages, Bible teachings, where we unpack the Bible verse by verse. We do it from book to book, chapter to chapter, line upon line, word for word.
If you want to hear more, please stay tuned after the teaching. Now we want to tell you about a great resource that will encourage you to pray more boldly and powerfully.
No wonder the guys asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. We need direction, or we would still be saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep."
Instead of just praying, "God, would you do this for me?" a dangerous way to pray is, "God, what can I do for you?"
Terrific idea, don't you think? That's Craig Rochelle from his book, Dangerous Prayers. And this is our summer resource offer. Seriously, this book could bring a major milestone in your life.
Over your lifetime, I believe that if you're a follower of Jesus, there will be certain messages that when you hear them, you encounter God in such a way that it literally changes the trajectory of your life.
Unlock your prayer potential with Craig Rochelle's book, Dangerous Prayers. It's our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, another clip from Craig's book, Dangerous Prayers.
The prayer of availability as we pray a very, very dangerous prayer. Let me tell you, when you pray this prayer, God could direct you in a lot of different ways. He may lead you to go to a different city. He may reveal a calling in your life that you never, ever expected before. He may lead you to stay somewhere when you just knew you were supposed to go somewhere else.
Get Dangerous Prayers by Craig Rochelle at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. Now, this challenge.
When you make yourself available to God, it's an incredibly dangerous prayer we're going to learn to pray today.
Okay, we're in Romans chapter 12, as Skip Heitzig starts today's study.
I sometimes get this thought, I've told this to you before, but I sometimes just sort of sit back, fold my arms, and marvel that God, who without us could get the job of evangelism done, He could use angels, and they would do a much better job, trust me. I mean, just think, if you just hang a 8-trillion-watt speaker system from the moon and broadcast to the earth via an angel, I think it'll get everybody's attention. But God has condescended to use human bodies to spread His message and to do His work. The foolish things of the world, Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So, think how exciting your life can be tomorrow if you wake up with this thought, God can use my body today. I'm going to give it to Him. I'm going to surrender it to Him. I'm going to present it to Him today and every day. I'm going to wake up with that thought. Now, Paul says when you do that, it's logical. It's your reasonable service. See what it says at the end of verse 1. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Smartest thing you could ever do. Logikos is the word reasonable. We get our word logical from it. Rational, reasonable, logical. Some translations translate it spiritual, like the New International Version, which is your spiritual act of worship, it says. I like that. I think it's a fair translation. I like the idea that says true worship isn't singing songs or going through rituals. It's living an obedient life by presenting your body to God. But I do like and prefer the translation logical or rational or reasonable. So let me put it together for you this way. Because God has been so good, so merciful, so abundant in his provision, the smartest thing, most logical thing, most rational thing, most reasonable thing, and hence the most spiritual thing I could do is say, here, God, here's my body, use it. That makes the most sense. Based on his mercies, I should do that. So that's stage number one, the presentation of our bodies. Stage number two is the transformation of our minds, our thinking. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you notice there's two parts to that? There's a negative and a positive. Don't do this, but do that. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. So on the negative side, do not be conformed. I love the fact that the Bible calls us to be nonconformists. I've always been one. And when I found this verse, I said, yes, I love it. Don't go with the flow. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, told his disciples, don't be like them, referring to the world, unbelievers. Do not be like them. Now, J.B. Phillips takes verse 2 and translates it this way. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Very powerful rendition. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Don't go with that flow. Any dead fish can float downstream. Stand up and stick out for the right reason. Now, that's not easy to do. It's easier said than done. One of our greatest fears as human beings is to be rejected by the group, our crowd. We want to fit in. We want them to like us. We don't want to say, excuse me, but I disagree with y'all. And so we conform. But this idea of nonconformity is a principle that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. When God was taking the children of Israel out of Egypt and bringing them into the land of Canaan, there were unbelievers in Egypt, there was unbelievers in Canaan. So God said in Leviticus 18, according to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do according to the doings of them, nor according to the doings of the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their ordinances. Don't be like the rest of the crowd. John, in 1 John chapter 2, put it this way, do not love the world. Now here Paul says, don't be conformed to the world. John says, don't even love the world, which has brought a lot of angst to some believers. I've had that quote. What does it mean, don't love the world? Am I supposed to hate trees and grass and the earth? I look at a mountain and go, I hate that. Why are you doing that? Well, the Bible says, don't love the world. No, we are to love the physical world. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And as believers, we realize I'm stewards of this earth that God put me on. I need to do my best not only to treat it well, but to love it the right way, not to let that stand in my way of love for God, but certainly I'm not to hate that world. In fact, I think as believers, we have a greater appreciation for physical nature because it points to God. For the life of me, I don't understand how an unbelieving scientist can do it. They make some cool discovery, and it's like, oh, look at this beautiful accident. This random occurrence, isn't that awesome? This fortuitous occurrence of accidental circumstance. Wow! It has no meaning at all. As a believer, we go, that has great meaning. My Father, my creative Father made this, and it points me back to Him. So when the Bible says don't love the world, it doesn't refer to the physical world. When the Bible says don't be conformed to the world, it's not speaking of the physical world. Second, it's not referring to the world of human beings. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We are to love people as well as the physical surroundings. But when he uses the term world here, and when John uses it in 1 John, love not the world, it refers specifically to the ethical world. The ethical world. It is the word cosmos, which means to order or to arrange. We get our word cosmopolitan from that word. It means the ordered system of behaviors, activities, ideas, and people that are against God, all under the control of Satan. Because the Bible puts it this way, Satan is the god of this world who has blinded the minds of those who believe not. We're not to be conformed to that. We're not to be the greyhound chasing the rabbit around and around. Now look at the positive side. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorphao. Metamorphosis is a total radical change by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Your mind is important to God. Your mind is important to God. Jesus said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. So if you've never heard this before, hear it now. It's okay to think as a Christian. In fact, it's mandatory. It's vital to think as a Christian. Be a thinking Christian. Some churches seem to have a sign that's invisible but implied, please check your brain at the door. Don't think critically. Don't bring up questions. Don't struggle with real issues. No, struggle with real issues. If you have doubts, work through them. I've done it plenty of times, and I've come out the other end much stronger for it. James Montgomery Boyce said this, people aren't thinking anymore. Brain cells are seriously under-exercised. Contemplation has become an old-fashioned word with little place in our fast-paced, high-tech world. For thinking, we have substituted entertainment. The substitution has been so effective that many of us believe that entertainment actually makes us think. We think of ourselves as being the best informed generation in history because of television. Add to that now, since he wrote it, social media. But TV is not informing us, it's merely entertaining us, and there is a difference. So we're told to renew our minds. How do you renew your mind? And you know the answer to this. How do you renew your mind? Hold it up. Hold it up. How do you renew your mind? Hold it up high. By saturating it in the Word of God. God has given us His Word, His values, His template. Saturate your mind in the Word of God. A while back, it was, I think, second service on a Sunday morning. I know this because a person came up to me afterwards. They were sitting behind a couple who was, as I was teaching through the Bible, maybe they were visitors. Surely they were. But this woman said to her husband, almost aghast, almost in an unbelieving tone, she went, oh, he spoke to me, goes, he believes this literally. He's believing the Bible. He's taking it literally. I'm glad she picked up on that point. Because I actually do believe it literally, grammatically, historically, etc. But renew your mind, your thinking, transform your mind by saturating it in God's mind, which is conveyed in His Word. Now, when you do that, when those first two are done, a third will follow. The presentation of your body followed by the transformation of your mind will lead to the apprehension of God's will. See how verse 2 continues? That you, or literally, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know God has a will? God has a will generally as well as specifically for your life. He wants you to know His will. He wants you to do His will. And I've discovered every true Christian wants to do God's will. It's as natural as any child growing up. You come to a point after you get saved where you say, what does God want me to do in this life? What is His plan and purpose for me? I want to know God's will. It's one of the most often asked questions I get. How do I discover God's will? The problem comes in some people think God's will is revealed mysteriously. It's going to be really weird. That's God. Is it weird enough? Okay, it's God. Every weird sign has to be from God. So God is going to speak to me through an audible voice, or He'll spell letters out in the clouds, or an angel will be hitchhiking at the on-ramp and tell me God's will. I've discovered I've never had any of those things. But I have seen God work in my life supernaturally, naturally. Very naturally, very normally. But at the same time, the mystery of it is God is supernaturally working. Don't be like the guy who he went on a diet. He was very, very serious about his diet. So serious that he decided he is going to reroute his normal way to work, because the normal way to work was by a bakery where he'd stop every day and load up on donuts. So he goes, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just drive a different way. So he did. But one day, he comes to the office with this humongous coffee cake. Everybody in the office, they go, come on. What happened? You made a commitment. We want to help you keep the commitment. He goes, no. I don't think it was by... He goes, first of all, I accidentally drove by the bakery. I forgot my routing and I just accidentally went by there. But then I thought, maybe this is God's will for my life. So I prayed. And I said, Lord, if it's your will that I go inside the bakery and buy that beautiful coffee cake in the window, I pray you'd provide a parking space right up front. And he goes, and wouldn't you know it, the eighth time around the block, there it was. A transformed mind will produce a transformed will. You will want what God wants. When you present your body, when your mind is renewed, you're going to start wanting what God wants. That's why I'm going to boil down God's will to something very simple. Okay? You'll understand what I mean in the context of it. Love God and do whatever you want. You go, well, that's a little weird. No, it's not. It's actually very true. Because if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you're presenting your body to Him, if your mind is being renewed in His mind through His truth, what you want is going to be exactly what He wants. So love God and do what you want. Now, something about God's will that Paul says here in verse 2, he says, first of all, it's good. Did you notice that? That you may prove what is that good? You know, God's will is always good. Doesn't always feel good. But it is good. God's will isn't always fun. It's not always pleasurable. But it's always, always, always good. Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Then the will of God is acceptable. Notice that next word, acceptable. What does that mean? The NIV renders it is pleasing. When you do God's will, it's going to be pleasing. Who is it going to please? It's going to please God. It is going to please God, but it's also going to be pleasing to you, to please God. It's going to please you to please God. The Bible says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. You know the rest of that verse? And He will give you the desires of your heart. Don't misquote that. It doesn't mean just to be delighted in God and God will give you all your little heart's desires. No, it means that when you delight yourself in the Lord, He will actually plant within you a desire for the right thing. He'll give you the desire. Finally, he says the will of God is perfect, that you might prove it is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word perfect, cool word, teleos. It means complete. It means full grown. It means mature. I take it to mean a mature satisfaction. The experience that says, I am satisfied with my life. Listen, if you come to the end of your life and you are dissatisfied with it, it means you've been conformed to this world. If you come to the end of your life and you are dissatisfied, it only proved that you are living for yourself and not for God. I have never yet met somebody on their deathbed who said, I committed too much to God. I should have been more selfish in my life, more time for myself. I've never met a person who said that. If you're dissatisfied, it means you've been living for the wrong reason. So, we present our bodies to the control of God. Our mind is renewed by the Spirit of God in the Word of God. And then we are able to discern the will of God. We love God and do what we want because He plants those desires, what He wants, in our hearts. Now, as we close, I just want to say that I have practiced this generally for years. That is, when I'm in my bed and I wake up early in the morning, like sometimes I wake up early, like today, 4:30, just my eyes are open, I'm up. So I do the normal thing, take the dogs out, you know, get my wife coffee later, not at 4:30. She wouldn't have it. But I get up. Before I get up, my eyes are open, and I generally say, Lord, I commit my day to You. Before my feet hit the ground, I'm just committing my day to Him. Then get up, get coffee, grab my Bible, open it up to get my mind renewed in His Word, renewed in His thinking. Then I commit my plans to Him. I yield my plans to Him. I have a schedule, like y'all. I got appointments. But I yield my schedule to Him, and I say, God, You have editing rights over my script. You know what I mean by that? I have my plans, but they may not be His. He might say, no, I'm going to actually splice this part of the reel, throw it out, and put this. This is what you're going to face today. I don't want that. Yeah, but I do. And I want you to go through it. Well, that's not good. No, it is good. It doesn't feel good, but it is good. So I commit my script to Him, and I give Him editing rights over it. That is better than being a Christian monkey. Of having hand in the coconut, grabbing a hold, not letting go. I want it, I want it, I want it. Live surrendered, not seizing. His way is always better than your way.
That's Skip Heitzig with a message from the series Heart and Soul. Now let's head into the studio with Skip and Lenya as they share about some exciting resources to help you go further in your Bible study.
In Romans 12, Paul strongly encouraged believers to be transformed by renewing of their minds. And Skip, you mentioned that we renew our minds by saturating it in Scripture. We have some great Bible study resources for our listeners so they can dive into God's Word. Can you share about those?
Love to. We believe wholeheartedly in renewing your mind. We think you ought to do it daily. And so we have connectwithskip.com where you can download and listen to over 3,500 full-length sermons, messages, Bible teachings, where we unpack the Bible verse by verse. We do it from book to book, chapter to chapter, line upon line, word for word. We also have, as you know, Lenya, online resources with books and studies. You have written so many great Bible studies that, though long after they're written, they continue to bear fruit in ladies' lives all over the world. How many Bible study books have you written?
I believe 13.
13 different books and studies specifically for women, well-researched, well-reasoned. So I would push people there. We have a number of things called like a YouTube channel, a podcast, Connect with Skip podcast. We have an app. I love the app. I love it because when I carry my phone, I can go to the app. I can listen to a message. You can take the 30K 30-day challenge on the app. So whatever format you have, whether you're an iPhone or any other phone, you can go to your app store and download that. And we'd love to be able to connect with you as a listener by devotional emails called Devo Mails from Skip. They're delivered right to your inbox. I promise you they're going to be uplifting, encouraging, educating. And so if you just want to sign up by going to connectwithskip.com, We'd love to deliver those to you.
Thank you, Skip and Lenya. We hope you were encouraged in your walk with God and want to invite you to help do the same thing for others who may be struggling today. Your gift today will help keep these teachings you enjoy on the air and make it possible to help more listeners like you grow stronger in their faith. So please consider giving a gift today to help bless others just as you've been. Just call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Tune in again tomorrow as Skip's son, Nate Heitzig, shares how you can find your purpose in Christ.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. Connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.